Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer and Brendan Escott joining you on Oilers Now. Hope you're having a fantastic Wednesday. Late start tonight, 8:52. Arizona Coyotes playing the second of a back-to-back. They'd actually gone 6-0-2 before losing last night 2-1 to the Winnipeg Jets. Guests and Oilers Now receive gift certificates to Roost Chris Steakhouse. It's the greatest steak you've ever had. Follow the sizzle to 9990 Jasper Avenue and tell Chris and Chef El Taff that Oilers Now sent you. Roost Chris is open Tuesday through Sunday from... it's open from 5 until 10 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday. You can text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, 780-496-0063. Frank Saravalli coming up in this next segment, along with Craig Morgan from Phoenix Sports, longtime beat writer that really knows stuff in Arizona. We'll talk to the newest member of the Oilers organization out of UMass Lowell, and that is Carl Berglund today at 1:20, and our NHL insider for Legacy Heating and Cooling, John Shannon. Brendan, you're going to have to go via the phone for Frank, okay? Do you need a number, or are you good?
I'll give him a buzz here. That's all good.
Okay, we'll give him a buzz. Frank's going to join us here in a couple seconds' time. While we have an opportunity, we can tell you that for you golfers out there, if you're looking for a golf tour bucket list experience, you can join New West Travel this October and golf world-famous Pinehurst in North Carolina. It is the home of the 2024 U.S. Open as part of a five-day golf getaway. Your Pinehurst golf package includes airfare by private charter with open bar and meals, four nights of spectacular accommodation, five rounds of golf, including the stunning U.S. Open course at Pinehurst. Space is limited. To reserve your tee time, reach out to newwesttravel.com. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. And we go off to the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline, and welcome back to the show for the horses and horse race in Alberta. Find events scheduled at thehorses.com. We'll see you at the races. Daily Faceoffs, Frank Saravalli. Hi, Frank. How you doing?
Pretty good, Bob. How are you?
Good. What's going on? What's the latest? What's happening around the league?
It's been relatively quiet. It's sort of college free agent season. Teams are scouring the market, trying to find any sort of advantage they can get on the margin, trying to assign players that were previously undrafted. And other than that, post trade deadline, it's really, what are we down to, nine teams in the West, nine or 10 in the East? I mean, that's pretty much it.
Last year at this time, there was eight in the East. The cutoff was there, I guess.
In January.
From January on. I mean, are we seeing that Nashville, Calgary's still in the mix and Nashville's out in the West? Because that's Calgary's ninth right now. Is that who you got there? Or do you think the Preds can work their way back into this thing?
I mean, personally, with the Preds and sort of the pieces that they lost, I have a hard time seeing them chasing down Winnipeg. I know a lot of people have asked about Seattle in recent days or weeks. Are they a team that could fall out of it? To me, the Kraken have just, the math works in their favor. They've piled up too many points. They're not going anywhere. And with the Flames, like, you know, I think everyone's kind of just waiting for the Jets, who have been in a swoon really since January 24th, if you take a deep dive on their numbers, that everyone's waiting for the Jets to sort of put everyone else out of their misery, and that hasn't happened yet. And the Flames, you know, I would think after the loss in L.A., you know, the nail is more or less in that coffin, but you know, statistically, not quite yet.
Yeah, Calgary's got 79 points. They are currently ninth in the Western Conference in that three-hole in the wild card spot. 1 point behind them is Nashville with three games in hand. Winnipeg's got 83 points. Seattle's at 85. Edmonton's at 88. Seattle's got a game in hand of the Oilers. L.A. and Vegas, it's interesting, Frank, the top six teams in the month of March are all from the Western Conference. Now, some people said, well, Stauffer, you dummy, that's because the West is playing the West. But we're also seeing some of the teams in the West make some hay here and work their way up the standings a bit. And I guess I want to get to the Pacific Division. Vegas went out. It's going to be really interesting here because of what happened with Jonathan Quick ending up in Vegas. LA goes and gets Jonas Corposalo, and the Oilers trying to chase those two teams down for top spot in the Pacific. Give me your take on what we're seeing right now.
I mean, I've really liked the Kings all year, and I think they got significantly better at the trade deadline, just sort of in an understated way as they did in the summer in adding Kevin Fiala. Like, not necessarily the biggest splash. Definitely the Gavrikov trade, not the one that was most talked about. But I think when you consider what Columbus was asking for Gavrikov initially and what he ended up going for, and to get Korpisalo in the deal as well, I think they were initially looking for a first, a third, and a fourth to match what Savard got. And they end up getting Korpisalo as well for a price less than what was paid for just Savard a couple years back. So I think they did a nice job at the deadline. I think they take a team that has really an abundance of defensemen, and they can now better balance it out with Gavrikov. I'd be real curious to see what they end up doing on the right side of their blue line this summer, and I think that's a big thing to watch out for. But I would say, you know, when you're looking at Vegas, like, I thought they had one of the more perplexing deadlines. You know, I get the addition of Jonathan Quick, you know, hopefully someone that gives you a shot in the arm, and certainly he was that through the first three games that he played. But they didn't, they had an opportunity to spend big with Mark Stone being on LTIR. The problem was they really couldn't trade for someone that had term. So Timo Meier was a fit as a sort of potential short-term flip. Other than that, they were kind of, you know, looking at the rental market, and they didn't swing big. And so for a team that traditionally does that, I wonder if that's, A, the Vegas Golden Knights displaying some prudence in terms of, you know, viewing their future assets, or is that a view of how they see their team fitting into the grand scheme and scope of the Western Conference. It's kind of hard to really wrap your head around that for a team that had been so ultra-aggressive through the first 6 years of their existence.
3 goals, 9 points, plus 15 in 10 games. Frank, what are your thoughts on what Matthias Ekholm has brought the Oilers so far?
I think he's been an unbelievable fit, better than I originally imagined. I think you could tell that once he... I think doing some research on the position that he was in Nashville, I think there was a lot of, I don't want to say concern, but I think consternation about he saw the writing on the wall of where the season was trending for the Preds. He knew that he had recently signed a contract extension, and I think for someone that had always been part of Nashville's organization, was in a spot where, you know, I wonder if the concern of what's going to happen at the deadline, you know, maybe potentially impacted his play when something like that's hanging over your head. Comes to Edmonton and is excited to be there. I think one of the first comments that I read from him was, you know, just how him and his wife are outdoors people. And obviously being from Sweden, they're people that, you know, spend a bit of time outdoors and in the cold, and this is an environment that suits them. So, you know, I think that's one of the other, you know, factors and facets of it, is that not everyone's built for Edmonton, and that's okay. But when you can find someone that really loves it, I think it becomes that much more of an added bonus, and you can step in and sort of help a team take a lot of pressure off of the top pair, that I think really that goes a long way.
All right. We're joined right now by Frank Saravalli for the Horses in Horse Racing Alberta. We've talked a bit about the West and specifically the Pacific Division. James Reimer came into town with the San Jose Sharks the other night, and we're in an interesting spot here. And you're seeing organizations take different routes in terms of wearing jerseys to support various initiatives, and I think you know where I'm going with this. Do you have much to say on any of this?
Do I have anything to say?
Yeah.
I think it's a really nuanced argument, because I can kind of understand it from every angle, and that's not me sitting on the fence.
Yep.
I think a lot of the discourse that I see on social media really bothers me, my own personal opinion, because I think people that seek to be really tolerant then take these people and demonize them on social media. Yep. And I think they become everything that they don't want to be. That's one side of it. And so the other side is James Reimer has a right to, you know, do whatever he sees fit. I think the best argument that I've heard in this case is that Gary Bettman explained it, and it sort of echoes the league stance, which is something along the lines of, let's say you support three charities and someone comes along to you and says, well, I'd like you to chip in and support this one. And your response is, no, I already support three. I'm good. Well, just because you don't support that fourth charity that someone brings to your plate, doesn't necessarily mean you don't like that charity or just because you're not participating. All of that said, this is not a full-throated defense of James Reimer. Like, I know what I would have done. I would have worn the jersey.
Yep.
But I just think that in this case, you know, you have to be careful to not trample on what each individual sees, because I think that's how you start going the other direction.
You know, I think that's a pretty fair overall assessment on your part, Frank. You had a really interesting piece on some potential Group 6 free agents. And some of these guys are really unheralded, so perhaps educate our listeners. I mean, Matthew Phillips is a guy Oilers fans are familiar with. They've seen him in the rookie tournaments. He appears to be a bit of an AHL-NHL tweener, but give me some thoughts on a couple guys who may get some traction out there.
Yeah, so Phillips was one of the five guys that I had written about, sort of unheralded guys that are pending Group 6 free agents that, for whatever reason, haven't gotten a big enough shot or a shot at all when you consider the games played requirements to become a Group 6. And that's really kind of the point of it is, like, if you're in an organization and you're not getting the opportunity you deserve at the end of it, instead of having to wait for full unrestricted free agency to be given an option to get there sooner or earlier. Phillips is a guy who has elite high-end skill. The problem is he's 5'6" and 155 or 160 pounds. And look, I think you can be that size, that 5'7" or whatever it is, ask Marty St. Louis, but you need to have legs the size of tree trunks, like Marty St. Louis did. You need to be hard to knock off pucks. Those five guys on that list, including Eric Schallgren and including Mikey Essamont, and, you know, the other guys that are part of that group, they're all going to get a shot somewhere. They're going to get a contract. They're going to get an opportunity. The thing is, with each different Group 6 free agent class that pops up every year, you know, every 5 years you're going to get a Michael Bunting, or you're going to Jonathan Marchessault, or another guy that has elite AHL numbers that just needed a chance. I'm not sure that exists in this class, but I think they're interesting nonetheless.
All right, final one for you. The Oilers play the Arizona Coyotes tonight. The Coyotes have $27 million currently tied up in LTIR of their $66 million cap team. So they've got $39 million worth of players. They have 22 picks in the first three rounds of the next three drafts. That's a lot. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Too many for one organization, actually.
What's that?
It's actually too many for one organization.
They have Logan Cooley out of the University of Minnesota, who's going to be on their team next year, and Dylan Gunther, who's with the Seattle Kraken, the former Edmonton Oil King. Connor Geeky's probably 2 years away. So those guys are both top six guys. They might end up being two-thirds of their first line down the road. So what's your take on what's gone on here in the desert? And has Bill Armstrong been undermined in terms of the Connor Bedard hunt? Because his goaltending has been too good, his coaching's too good, and the team plays too hard.
I think he's been undermined. I mean, look, for an organization that was on this path, they had set everything up for this year to bottom out. And of all years to do it, this was the one. Because it's not just the lottery odds for Connor Bedard. It's also, I believe, and I'm not a draft expert, and I don't pretend to be one, but the point is, after Bedard, there's still arguably three franchise players, or certainly franchise changers that are available beyond them in Fantilli. And I wonder really who's going to take a swing on Mishkov, et cetera, that this was the year to really make sure you're in the top three so that you could at least get one of those players, top four. Will they get there? I don't know. I mean, the odds are sort of working in their favor. Each point they pile up is each additional one lost, opportunity lost. And for a team that, you know, what you're trying to do is assemble the best collection of high-end talent that you can. And, you know, this season has gone the wrong direction on that front. They've won too many games at home. All those things that have put themselves in a spot where they're going to miss out. We'll see how the lottery goes.
You know why they're winning games at home, right?
It's not the environment, is it?
It's exactly the environment for the opposition team.
I don't think it is.
For the opposition team. Arizona.
That's what I was going to say. I think it's that opposition don't take them seriously enough. coming into Arizona, and they end up getting the win.
Right, and the Bear, Andre Tourigny, the head coach, he won a World Junior title with Canada. He's a good coach, and that team plays hard, and they play structured, and they've had good goaltending. They're a pain in the ass to play against at home.
Mm-hmm.
And teams, I'm looking forward to going in there, but I've heard from some guys around the league that some of the players are like, this isn't the NHL here? Like, seriously? This is the NHL, right?
It may not be for long, that's the thing, because there's no bigger day in franchise history than May 8th coming up with this referendum on the ballot, because I'm here to tell you, if they don't win that referendum, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see the NHL pull up stakes later in the month of May and move on, because there's no other viable path, at least at the moment,
wow,
to put steel in the ground. And they're not going to go through an interminable, no end date in sight at Mullet Arena. That's just not the case.
Frank, awesome stuff. We'll let you get back to being a parent, okay?
Thanks, Bob.
That is Frank Saravalli for the Horses and Horse Racing Alberta. Find event schedules at thehorses.com. We'll see you at the races. When we come back, we will have Oilers Game Day Trivia for Pro-Am Sports and NHL Today for Elite Promotional Marketing. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott joining you. It's 12:51 at Edmonton. Little Bob Cajun for you. It's 12:54 at Edmonton. Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, along with Brendan Escott, at this time for Elite Promotional Marketing. We'll go to NHL Today. Your local branded merchandise specialist, head to ElitePromoMarketing.com. Brendan?
Hey, we just have two games, as we mentioned, tonight in the league. Colorado hosting Pittsburgh, and then, Edmonton welcoming Arizona at 8:52 this evening. Jets coverage starts at 7 o'clock following an hour of Inside Sports. Edmonton, we mentioned, signing 23-year-old centerman Carl Berglund to an entry-level contract. We will introduce you to him at 1:20 today. Leon Draisaitl considered the best passer among his peers, and Connor McDavid, the overwhelming favorite as the player to have with a win on the line. There we go. That's according to the NHL player poll, the one that they run each and every year. Vegas is the destination, not so surprisingly, players most like playing in. Montreal ruled Caden Gooley out for the year. He's got a high ankle sprain. Condors welcoming the Abbotsford Canucks to town this evening. Oil Kings wrapping up the regular season this week. They did fall 5-2 to Swift Current on the road last night, despite a 32-save effort from Logan Cunningham. They are back at it against Medicine Hat tonight, and then again, they finish up the season this weekend, Bob.
All right. You can text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, 780-496-0063. This texter out of Edmonton says, I disagree with James Reimer, but I agree with his right to choose. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. Bob, are there any other NCAA players that the Oilers are looking at? I don't know. They're looking for a little bit more help on the farm. I will tell you that right now. They probably could use another right shot defenseman at some point for the American Hockey League. Again, the Oilers signing Carl Berglund. We are going to go to Oilers Game Day Trivia. It is presented by ProAmSports.ca. It's located in Edmonton on St. Albert Trail or online at ProAmSports.ca. That's Oilers Game Day Trivia for Pro-Am Sports. Up for grabs a $50 GC from Pro-Am Sports and bragging rights. Almost more important. Here we go. So the Edmonton Oilers acquired Nick Bjugstad from the Arizona Coyotes. The Coyotes ate half of Bjugstad's salary. The Oilers gave up Michael Kesselring as well as a third-round pick. Edmonton also got a prospect D back. Who was the defenseman that's currently playing for the Bakersfield Condors that Edmonton got back from Arizona in the Bjugstad deal? You can text the correct answer on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, 780-496-0063. That answer we'll have for you when we return. Second hour of the show, we will hear from Craig Morgan from Phoenix Hockey longtime beat writer in that market. We'll also hear from Carl Berglund. The Oilers signing him today at the NCAA, UMass Lowell, and John Shannon will join us for Legacy Heating and Cooling. Off to a Global News weather traffic update with Randy Kilburn.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
3 nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.